You're listening to the Armchair Quarterbacks on CBS Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good morning, and this is your Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Flash. We got a big weekend in sports in front of you and some great lines to look at. Saturday morning, the Miami Hurricanes and Pittsburgh Panthers kick off at noon. Hurricanes are 13.5-point favorites. Also at noon, Auburn versus South Carolina. -3.5 for the Tigers, over under 51.5. And finishing up the noon ball games, you've got Clemson -27.5 at Georgia Tech and the Kentucky Wildcats +6 at the Tennessee Volunteers. 2:30 p.m. it's the Louisville Cardinals. They're getting 17 at the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. The over-under is 62. Duke +5 at NC State. That game is at 3:30, as are these. Ole Miss -1.5 at Arkansas, over-under 75. Central Florida -3 at Memphis, should be a good one. That over-under sits at 73.5. And the 4 o'clock matchups, Virginia -2.5 at Wake Forest, A&M -5 at the Mississippi State Bulldogs. 7:30, we see the North Carolina Tar Heels -13.5 at the Florida State Seminoles. The Georgia Bulldogs are getting 4.5 at the Crimson Tide. Over under is 56.5. And that's your Armchair Quarterbacks Wake Up Show, CBS Sports Flash. Stay tuned for more of the Armchair Quarterbacks on these CBS affiliates, our Facebook Live, and the Armchair Quarterbacks app. Tap that app today.
Well, let's turn and face the stars and stripes. It's fighting back them butterflies. It's calling in the air already. Yes, sir, we want the ball. And it's knocking heads and talking trash. It's slinging mud and dirt and grass. It's number, I got your back. When your back's against the wall, you mess with one man, you got a song. The boys are four. If you wanna know who we are, it's on the logos of our caps. We're mountaineers, we're volunteers. We're the tide that rolls, we're Seminoles. We're hurt
into the end zone, and the Seminoles are going to bring it out. This is Kermit Whitfield to the left side, a hold to the 30, 35,
yeah!
Kermit Whitfield to the 50, to the 40, yeah! Kermit Whitfield to the 30, to the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown official!
In trouble in the backfield, wants to throw down, he's going to go deep, and I mean deep, and I mean touchdown, Florida! Tyree Cleveland in a miracle finish!
Wherever you listen throughout the world, it's football time in Tennessee.
We're Mountaineers, we're volunteers. We're the tide that rolls, we're Seminoles. We're a herd of long-steered Wildcats.
Good morning. Welcome to Dixie Football Nation. Joining me is Matt Carr and Tony Aguilini. Tony, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm good, man. A little tired, but we're good.
And Matt, how the hell are you, sir?
I'm good this morning, and I did not watch the Braves game last night.
Well, it didn't matter because we didn't win. but, you know, they did get some things accomplished before we get into college football. They used some of the Dodgers' bullpen pieces I don't think they would have wanted to use. And they got to see Kenley Jansen for the first time this year, and so the guys that got to see him can compare notes and whatnot. So Braves still have a 3-2 lead, still looking good despite what the national media tells you. I don't believe LA's in the driver's seat. I don't know how the hell you're in the driver's seat. That's all they talked about last night and this morning was how LA's in the driver's seat because they've got two good pitchers going the next 2 days. I mean, you mean the two pitchers that Atlanta's already beaten? Okay. And Atlanta is sending Max Fried and Ian Anderson to the mound if needed in game 7. So I think Atlanta still has a very good chance of pulling this off. If they don't, you know, they're, in my opinion, they're 2 years ahead of schedule anyways. So, you know, they're playing with house money.
I didn't catch all of it, but to me, I think, would the Betts play in right field be the turning point of that game?
Yeah, well, you know, here's the thing. Ozuna shouldn't have went. I don't think they sent him. They didn't stop him. Ozuna's not fast. He, you know, that's never been his thing.
Betts has that whale of an arm.
And he's got a hell of an arm, and he left early, and I don't know what he was thinking. They're going to see it. They're just going to. Right. In today's day of, you know, he gets away with that 20 years ago. But in today's day of not just video, but being able to appeal that, you're never going to get away with that. It wasn't even close. If you didn't see the video, it wasn't even close. Wasn't like, oh, I don't know, you can't really no, man, he was gone.
So Tony, if you're wondering why I said that, I told Dave yesterday on the show, I hadn't watched a Braves game all year, not to sound like a song, but I've kept up with them. And so game three, I'm like, I'm going to sit down and watch me one of these. And as soon as I turn it on, it's like, it's 6-0. There's another home run. Dodgers, first inning.
Yeah.
So that's why.
I feel you on that one. Yeah, it was funny. The Dodgers manager, I guess it's still Tommy Lasorda, I'm not sure, but he couldn't get on the phone fast enough for that replay.
Yeah, well, everyone, because the first thought that I had was, wait. Because first of all, Betts was not very deep in the outfield. I was like, wait. Mm-mm. Ozuna beat the throw from Betts. What the hell happened there?
I was going to say, I wouldn't trust that.
All I was hoping is that he trapped the ball somehow. I was like, please show me that he trapped the ball and then it doesn't matter. No, he didn't trap the ball. He was probably.
And then the Rays can't get out of their way.
Yeah, the Rays are in trouble because when you go up 3-0, it's one thing to be up 3-1 and lose a game, even if you lose two. There's not that, oh, what have we done? Especially right. Because the Dodgers are the immediate favorite. When you are playing the Houston Astros, who've not only been to and won World Series before, but they've always had this mojo, and you go up 3-0 and you don't put your foot on the neck and you let them back in, that's a damn issue.
And yeah, you got one team playing loose and one team playing tight.
And that, you know, here's the thing. If Atlanta wins, Braves fans, I really think we want the Astros, because the Astros bullpen, especially now they got to go 7 games, their bullpen, their pitching staff, it is depleted. Granted, they're going to get a few days rest, but they don't have the pitching that the Rays can throw at you. So yeah. If Atlanta wins tonight or this afternoon at 4:30, this first pitch, they're billing it as 3:30, but it's an hour long pregame show. I'm like, for one baseball game, really, we're gonna do an hour? So, anyways, I can only see Big Poppy and A-Rod yuck it up with each other when you know they hated each other. You know, they're yucking it up on the. I can't watch that for an hour. So, but anyways, Braves lose, Astros win. So we got 6 at 4:00. I'm sorry, 4:30 tonight. Eastern, 8:30 is game 7 for Astros Rays. Nick Saban might coach today. We still haven't heard, and I'm like, what the hell, dude? He just came up positive, and he's going to find a way to coach. Only Alabama football. Conversely, Les Miles came down with it with the coronavirus October 8th, so that's 9 days ago. He did not make the trip that Kansas is going over. I think they're playing West Virginia today. So he's not making the trip, but somehow Nick Saban might slip into the game. And and then we got the news last night. Florida, Missouri postponed. You know, you talked about this yesterday, Tony, till October 31st. So that gives Florida another week off to get rid of the Rona. And I guess the main concern for Florida was they didn't know if they would have these kids come off protocol and have them be able to practice in time. So it gives them an extra week. I think it's probably the smart thing to do. I know you would like to have a week off in between the Georgia game, but don't you think it's probably best to go ahead and have them healthy and just, you know, be able to focus on a really piss poor Missouri team that Florida should handle? And then hopefully you can rest your starters late third, early fourth quarter.
Well, yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is that Georgia had their, I think, Kentucky game rescheduled for the 31st too. So as long as neither team has a bye week before, I'm down with it. So, but yeah, it'll be good to get those guys.
And that's a much tougher test. When is the Florida Kentucky game?
Do they play? No, Georgia Kentucky. I think.
No, when is Florida Kentucky?
Florida Kentucky is Thanksgiving weekend.
Okay. That should be a decent ball game.
Yeah, which is, it's funny, Florida Kentucky used to be towards the end of the year. It actually used to be Florida Kentucky and then an off week and then Florida FSU way back when. But and Florida would usually go up to Lexington when it's cold and play like crap and sometimes lose the SEC title because of it. But that's back like before 91. But yeah, it's funny how, you know, the calendar's changed and, you know, all these games are in different spots now. And Florida, Georgia, obviously still November 7th for now, but yeah, both teams will play the weekend before, and all of a sudden we got 2 weeks off, and maybe Grantham will find something else to do between now and the Missouri game. But
and I dozed.
Yeah, last week was frustrating, and I know it's been a week, but you know, I think for Florida it all starts with the defensive line that haven't recruited well the last few years, and these guys, Kyrie Campbell hasn't sniffed the field yet, and he's probably the stalwart of that defensive line, and since 2017, we really haven't recruited for crap until last year up front. It's starting to cost us.
And then one other note before we get rolling here, the scoreboard last night in college football, really good game, really good game. I was watching that alongside the Braves game. SMU Tulane, 37-34. SMU gets the win in overtime. So they stay undefeated. They're now 5-0. Ranked 17th in the country. I'm sure they'll go up a little bit. And BYU took them a while to get going, but they win 43-26 over Houston, 22 points unanswered in the fourth quarter. This game was nip and tuck all the way through the third. And once BYU started to pull away, I went down to one TV and went to the bedroom and kind of, you know, said, all right, man, I can start winding down. You got to be up in a few hours, and you got to go right back. Right after this, I have a whole bunch of junk I have to do. So I'm like, man. Thankfully, the Braves game isn't until 4:30 today, because I'm gonna try to get home by about halftime of the noon games. But let's get rolling into those, because
real quick, one thing about SMU, you don't walk into Tulane with that logo and just, you know, walk in there and beat Tulane. You know, you gotta overcome some serious intimidation issues.
Still one of my favorite logos in all of sports, not just college football, is the SMU logo. I've got an SMU hat I bought a few years back, and I was wearing it one day, and my wife looked at me. She was like, I think she thought I was into horse racing all of a sudden.
Did you buy a Mustang?
She's like, what the hell's exactly? Be like Tribbiani on Friends.
It's a Porsche.
Where he's rocked out in the Porsche gear. Yeah, she handles pretty good out in the city, but I'll tell you what, you get out there on the interstate. No, and I was rocking that hat. She was looking at me, what the hell? I was like, SMU. She's like, what? She goes, you bought another hat? And I was like, yeah, exactly.
She's like, aren't they on the death penalty?
Yeah. That 30 for 30 really inspired you.
Yeah. Well, when I was a little kid, I always liked, when I really first started getting into football, that backfield was in their prime. And so I grew up following. Even though I didn't like the teams, I didn't like Craig James at all when he was at the New England Patriots, because he was playing against my Dolphins at the time. But that, and I loved watching Eric Dickerson. It didn't matter to me that, you know, the whole damn thing was dirty. I was like, hell, if they're going to let Florida get away with it, they should let everyone get away with it. So, you know, the hell's going on?
I hear you, free shoes, you.
You know, big deal, big deal. You going to pay a few players?
Yeah, I was
going to
say, Florida at one point wasn't that far away from being SMU.
They would have been if they hadn't seen the devastation that SMU went through and what it did to that program. Florida would have gotten the death penalty. Man, what a shame that would have been.
They got everything.
I don't think I'd be talking to y'all right now about Florida Gators. I don't think either one of y'all would be Florida Gator fans right now. You'd be like, dude, I had to jump ship on that crap. First of all, Carr would have been barely born, and you'd have been like, dude, I had to jump off that junk when we were, you know, after our 17th consecutive losing season in a row. You know, go Knights!
That 84 team was the one that was kind of going through all that, and it was because of what happened with 82 and 83, but that was really the first group where, like, you know, I knew all the players' names and all that kind of stuff.
And so did the FBI.
Yeah. But, Pell was the old Bear Bryant disciple, and cheated at Clemson, ran from there, and then
he,
and then
finally man, he was busted, dirty, wasn't he? And then I found, and then of course, what did he do? He did he commit suicide? Is that what happened with Pell?
He tried to. He tried to do the old carbon monoxide in the car in the garage trick, and
so he couldn't even work. do that right.
Yeah, he smoked like a chimney, so ultimately it was lung cancer that, that got him later on. But I mean, he
when I was
I don't know if he did it in Florida, but he'd smoke on the sidelines. A lot of coaches did back then. But
when I used to do the show with Greg Larson in the mornings, he used to tell
me some good Pell stories.
He used to tell me some stories off air that you know he's got some good ones on air. But he's got some hell of ones off air. Yeah. I was like, really? Because he would ask me where I lived, and I told him. He said, oh, he goes, right up the road there is where Pell used to because I guess they used to always do a pregame show at Cheers, which is just you know on the corner essentially here, and he had some hellacious stories that I've been sworn to not repeat on air. I told him I wouldn't, so I won't. But anyways.
Coaches now have to do all that stuff behind closed doors or at their house. And the days of the coaches going out as a group to a restaurant at, you know, getting hammered after a big win.
Evidently he wasn't just a party. He was a full-blown alcoholic. He was
a drunk.
Yeah. Wow. And he was like, he was probably making a lot of those decisions that almost got, scrap, we'll pay him. Just, you know, cut him a check.
Bottle of nickel on his desk. And
this is being recorded. You do know that you're on live TV. Ah, well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you how I think that Jimmy the Greek was right. Shut up.
Not live TV.
Exactly. What's that fancy device you got in your hand? Can you imagine Pell today with the social media? There, that'd be over. He would have never gotten to Florida. The whole thing would have been stomped out at Clemson. Okay, early games of interest. I think we got to go right into Auburn, South Carolina. That to me is the one that is circled. There's two good SEC games at noon, but to me that one has the most flavor. Auburn's a 3-point favorite at South Carolina. It's a 52.5-point spread on the over-under. I think I'd be more willing to mess with the line than the over-under. The over-under seems like they've almost got the nail hit on the head with that one for me. I could see that final being 27-25.5. You know, you can hit right on this. But I've got this feeling that South Carolina's going to upset them today. Tony, I'll start with you. What's your feeling in this game as it's being played in Columbia?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. It's kind of funny. It's an upset pick, but I feel like I'm hearing more people pick South Carolina than Auburn this week. A lot of it's a trust issue with Bo Nix once he's outside of Jordan-Hare, and Carolina ran for a million yards against a Vanderbilt team that, you know, barely had enough kids to field a team last week. But Auburn's got too many playmakers on the outside to run Malzahn's offense, but he continues to just kind of plow it up the middle. And like you were saying yesterday, if they're having success between the tackles, they're going to win a lot of football games. But you play good defenses with good front fours like South Carolina and Georgia, they make it really tough on you. So I like South Carolina in this one, probably like 21-17, as long as Muschamp doesn't get in his own way and Shai Smith needs to have a big game. He needs more touches. I know there's – Muschamp runs an offense where they don't get to run like 70 plays a game like a lot of these programs want to. But if they can get somewhere in the 50s and Smith's getting, you know, 15 to 17 touches in a game, then that's where South Carolina needs to be.
Matt, what say you?
I know. Apparently, this is one of my best friends is an Auburn fan, and he's saying that I didn't ever think about this being a rivalry game, but because of Muschamp used to be in Auburn, Auburn people hate Muschamp. I didn't realize that as much as I should have, I guess. Man. Yeah, he's been there. He's like, I hated him twice. But I think
Muschamp's one of those guys, if you've had a cup of coffee with him, you hate him. Right? Everybody hates Muschamp unless he's currently on your coaching staff. You're like, screw that guy.
But that being said, and it's the same guy, and this is not Dudley, it's a different guy. He's saying Bo Nix is the quarterback, and like we talked last week, he is not. If he had a different name on his jersey, he wouldn't be there, and I agree with you, Tony, on that. But I think South Carolina wins it. But I think it's, like he said, like a 14-10 game, something like that. I think the under is a very good play on this one.
My thing with this is I think Colin Hill is just a better quarterback than Bo Nix. And I think it's going to be a little bit of a duel, not necessarily like a, you know, 55-50 type of game, but something in the high 20s, maybe even in the low 30s, where I have more faith in Colin Hill than I do that. And another strange one, that it's the same time, we won't spend much time on it, but tell me how strange this is. And you were like, man, just when you, if you think it's bad at Florida State, Syracuse is a 3-point underdog at home to Liberty. And I was like, and it, Justin brought it up a day or so ago. He goes, so I think I want to take that, but what's your thoughts? I was like, I think we're getting tricked. I was like, man, I was like, you know, if you want to take it on the show, fair enough. But I don't know, if you want to take it, you know, real money, you need to do a deeper dive, because why the hell is Syracuse an underdog? I couldn't find any major injuries that they're going against new. Liberty is like 4-0, but it's not like their laundry list of opponents are impressive. But I was like, wow, that's just in the Carrier Dome. That usually, the Carrier Dome usually holds about 5 points, as opposed to a lot of places that only hold between 3 to 4. So, I mean, that tells me on a neutral field, they are over a touchdown dog worse than Liberty. And I'm like, wow, they are really
pumped. I don't know. I don't think, I'm trying to think. I think I might have watched a little bit of Syracuse Duke or one of these games a few weeks ago. I don't think Syracuse is letting fans in at all.
No, they're not. But even still, that dome is weird, right?
It is, but I guess Liberty's got so much team speed. Like, the only reason I know this
it's
is
weird,
that
though.
Family and Lynchburg. They're the darlings this week.
You got to admit, though, for Liberty to be a road favorite again, a Power 5 team. And I'm
this
not
is
saying
the Syracuse team that, what, 2 years ago had a nice little record, I think.
Dino Babers, man, I thought the sky was the limit for this guy. I thought he was either going to build Syracuse into something special, or it was a stepping stone to, you know, a, you know, quote-unquote better job.
Right.
If you're sorry, Syracuse fans, if you're listening, but – you know,
because I think Babers has that, like, I think he's got that Art Briles background, if I remember right. Like, he's been in that system before. So
yeah, that's
that's crazy.
It's just wild. I didn't expect you to have any great insight. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've been studying this game. I didn't expect that. Yeah. Man, I'll tell you what, that 4 hours of reading yesterday really paid off, because let me tell you about the Liberty offensive line.
Well, you know, Joey Fishwater, that quarterback over at Liberty, man, he throws a bunch of yards.
And I'm still upset over the week 2 decision to go for it. Never mind. All right, let's go into the game of the day in a lot of people's mind, as far as that in that time frame, Tennessee, Kentucky. A lot of Tennessee fans who still believe Tennessee's a pretty, you know. I mean, let's be honest, Justin got feisty about it yesterday. I was actually on board with him saying that Tennessee was, you know, a good team, and I think he took it the wrong way, and he got a little defensive, saying, you know, we were in it with Georgia until this, and this happened. I was like, yeah, I get that. My point is, I think Kentucky and Tennessee are two pretty good teams, and that is a tight – I wouldn't take Tennessee minus the 6.5, because I'd be too worried that if Tennessee did win, it would be a really close ball game, right? It would be like 23-20, something like that. Matt, what's your feel on Tennessee-Kentucky? I mean, I know you're not a Tennessee fan by any stretch of the imagination, but what is your feel? I'm sure you've been around, you know, watching the games and whatnot, and Kentucky's not too far from you, too. What's your feeling on the Wildcats and Vols?
Well, Tennessee, if Georgia didn't have a bad snap, they wouldn't have been in that game at all, because that would have changed the tides last week, period. So Tennessee shouldn't have been even anywhere close to that, what they were last week. So even that being said, I'd have Tennessee beating Georgia. But after watching the game, I think they're young. So, but I think Kentucky's been in every game they've played this year. And I think that might be – I think it's going to be an upset in the making. So
it very well could be. Tony, what is your gut reaction? I mean, or your gut instinct in that game as far as Tennessee, Kentucky? Because I think it's a fascinating game.
I've got Kentucky as well. I think as we learn through the season, whenever these teams are playing Ole Miss, so we might be throwing these games out the window, since Ole Miss kind of forces the tempo on you. I think when Kentucky hasn't been playing Ole Miss this year, I think they played pretty good. They kind of got robbed a little bit at Auburn and ran into some bad luck with that 14-point swing in that game. But I think Kentucky's starting to put it together a little bit, and I dislike Kentucky as much as I do Tennessee. So this is kind of a battle of two teams I don't like anyway. But I think Kentucky will sneak in there and get the win, and then all of a sudden Tennessee's looking at like 2-4 because they've got Alabama on deck.
You know, I almost wonder how long it will be before they start thinking about putting Maurer in over Garantano, because I know they got defensive, or Justin got defensive about it, about Tennessee and whatnot, but I don't think they're a bad team, so don't get me wrong on that. But I think their ceiling is only so high as long as Garantano is your quarterback. And what can you do with, you know, I'm not even that familiar with JT Shrout, but I've heard good things about him. And then of course you got the rookie Bailey that they brought in that they're high on. How long do you sit with Garantano and watch him do the same thing over and over? And he's not James Blackman bad, but he is like, it's almost like we hope we can get a field goal against a good team with Garantano in it. But where do you change it and say, man, I want to start opening this offense a little more? And plus, there comes a point where you're like, let's build for the future, because this ain't happening. I'll tell you what, I don't think Garantano is going to beat Florida. If you're going to have a chance to beat Florida, it's not going to be Garantano. So that's my basic take on it. Is the defense is good. The running game is there. Cade Mays, you know, is obviously making a difference on the offensive line. But how long do you keep up with this Garantano charade?
I think Garantano won't be there by the time they play Florida, because if you're playing an OSU schedule, man, I think he'll be hurt by that time. I don't think they're going to take him out unless he gets hurt. I think they're going with him the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think Tennessee's formula for winning games isn't putting the ball in Garantano's hands. It's getting Chandler and Gray going. And I think for Tennessee, we heard so much last week before the Georgia game about how improved the offensive line is, and they are. They're better than they were, because they couldn't be any worse, but at least the last few years. But you saw what happened when they played an elite front four like Georgia last week, and then Kentucky has a really good front four as well, just like every other Mark Stoops defense out there. They just continue to reload. So I think that's where the big discrepancy is between these two teams on both sides of the ball is in the trenches, and I think Kentucky will make enough plays to get the win. But, yeah, Tennessee – another loss or two, and I said they're headed to 2-4. They'll be headed to 2-3 because they've got this game in Bama, and then who knows with Arkansas. But at some point, you do have to pull the plug on Garantano, especially a couple turnovers, pick six, something like that. You got to mix things up with them.
Because these
years, if they play the young guy, the year doesn't count against them. So let them play.
Right, exactly. And here's the thing: even though running the ball is going to win more games with you, Tennessee, and I get that. Today's SEC is changing, and you're not going to win a whole hell of a lot of games with 19 points in a cloud of dust.
Right. Third and eight shouldn't be like no man's land.
Right. You shouldn't be thinking about, you know, quick kicking it on third and eight, because you're like, there's no way in hell we're going to get this. What if we kick it really hard at the linebacker's head and then we jump on the recovery? That shouldn't be, you know, a part of the, you know, midweek walkthrough. So, I guess this would be a good time to go ahead and do our stupid underdog picks.
There's no need to fear.
Stupid
underdog is here.
Stupid
underdog.
Okay, so for people who don't know what goes on with stupid underdog picks, we take the point spread. And you try to get the W straight up. If you get the W straight up, you get all the points. You can go college or football. I'm sorry, college or NFL. It doesn't have to be just the just college football games, but we do it on the college football show. So with that being said, I got to find. I don't know what I did with that. Oh, here it is. Give me one second. Matt, who was it that you had last week?
North Carolina State.
NC State, that's what it was. Do you remember what the spread was? Was it 6 or 6.5? Do you remember? It was right in the anyways.
It was 7.
Oh, it was 7. Okay. All right. So where we have the standings now is, and Tony, yours last week was, I know you shot for the moon and stars or something and you missed it, but I can't remember what it was.
Oh, BYU, I think. Was it BYU last week losing?
He had BYU.
Oh, yeah, Texas San Antonio, who actually only lost by a touchdown.
So you covered. So you got the 2 points. Okay, that's so the fantastic. Updated numbers are this.
Saturday just got better.
Freaking Sean won again. It's ridiculous. So we call this Big E's stupid underdog picks. Big E's no longer with us. He was a armchair quarterback and he passed away last year. He was kicking our butt when this ended. So plus I got the idea from a Middle Tennessee radio station. So we've just continue to call it Big E. But Sean's got 31.5 points. He hit again. He took the freaking A&M game. And I was like, can you just pick against Florida every week? And that way,
if I wasn't a Gator nut, I was close to doing it last week. Not as the underdog.
I didn't think there's any way in hell that was going to happen. And plus, I was like, 5 points is a good enough reward for an A&M. I felt like an A&M beating Florida upset was like worth a lot, hell of a lot more. So I'm like, I'm not going 5 points for that game. And somehow Jimbo Fisher finds a way to beat them again. I don't know what the hell he does that.
He runs it to the right side.
I mean he finds holes in the Gators defense, though the Gators defense isn't what it was past couple of years. That game still shocks me. I still expect A&M to go out and lay an egg this week. I mean, this is not the A&M that I know, but. The standings look like this. Sean is way in the lead. Now, we got several weeks left of this, but Sean is way in the lead at 31.5 points. I've creeped into second place, but I'm not even halfway there. I'm at 15. So unless I start swinging for the fences, I'm not catching him anytime soon. Tony is at 13.5 now. Angelo is at 11.5, and Carr has gone over. He's no longer got a golfer score. He's plus one. So we're good to go.
I'm back, baby.
But to be fair, we give the lowest score the first pick and so on and so forth. And now Sean doesn't have to wake up very early, so he just waits for us to make our picks. Because I'll take the one that's actually going to hit. And away we go. So, Carr, where are you going today?
I honestly forgot those rules, so I didn't think I was going to go first. So I had two teams, but I'm going to go Kentucky-Tennessee.
Okay. I think this morning on the BetUS, I think I saw that it was still on 6-something. So let me see.
I had it at 6 last night.
Let me see if I can get you another point or so, if it'll okay, Kentucky-Tennessee. You got 6.5, so you're good to go. So you get the extra one. All right. Tony, it's your turn. Where are you going?
Well, with Texas San Antonio being off today, I'm going to take Louisiana Tech over Marshall.
What time is that game? Do you know?
11. it starts in about 10 minutes. that is at 6 o'clock on CBS Sportsnet. So please be sure to tune into that instead of baseball and or the Georgia Alabama game.
Six o'clock on C-SPAN. Okay, so La Tech, and they're getting 13.5 points. That's actually a pretty good one. I like that.
Thank you.
Man, I like cars too. God, stupid COVID's got me confused on whether the game's going to get played or not. So I'm going to. I think the Bengals Colts game getting played. I think it is.
Colts shut down yesterday, but I haven't heard anything else about Sunday.
I think it's being played. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and take the Bengals +8, and if for some reason that game doesn't get played, I'll change the pick next week. Tomorrow morning before the game starts on the Stardom Set'em show. So that's my philosophy. The other one I was thinking about was Georgia at Bama, but I've got a feeling Saban's going to stick his head in the game somehow, or it's going to be like Did y'all ever watch the Simpsons spinoff cartoon Futurama? And they had the heads in the glass. Yeah. I can see Saban doing that somehow. So that game's got me nervous picking that one. So I'm going to go ahead and take I do think 4.5 points is a lot of points in that game. But Mac Jones looks good. Can we talk about that game for a second? Yeah. Alabama, Georgia. We might as well roll into that one. I was going to save it for the end, but we might as well get into that one. Man, Mac Jones, him being from Jacksonville makes you want to pull for him. But I just assumed, because he was an Alabama quarterback and his last name wasn't Tagovailoa, that he wasn't going to be anything spectacular. Dude, he looks real deal. Like Sunday kind of quarterback.
That'll be the only game I watch today, so I'm looking forward to actually watching a full game. I haven't watched Alabama play this year, so I'll be looking forward to watching that.
Yeah, I mean, for Jones, he committed to Alabama pretty early, and actually at first he was a Florida commit just for baseball, and got talking to Alabama, and Alabama told him he could play football and baseball, and I don't think Mac Jones really wanted to go to Florida for football. It was just going to be baseball. But anyway, Alabama said he could play both if he wants to, and I think he's just settled on football over there. But came from bowls, and I don't think anybody in this area, other than maybe his parents and some friends, thought he would have this kind of impact at Alabama. It was supposed to be Tua, and then Tua's brother, and then by that time Jones would run out of eligibility and just have kind of held a clipboard there, but. He's been great. Obviously, it's not the toughest job to be quarterback at Alabama when you've got almost every year the best offensive line, great receivers, elite running backs, all that kind of stuff. But I mean, he makes great throws, puts a lot of speed on the ball, and then also he's got good touch for a quarterback too. But yeah, I'm with you. I thought he'd be good and serviceable for Bama once last year and this year, but I had no idea he was going to come out and play like this.
Serviceable is the perfect word for it. I thought that's what I didn't think Alabama would suck. I thought they'd continue to do what they do. But he has dropped dimes on certain passes that I'm like, man, there's only a few kids in the country that can make those kinds of throws. Matt, have you watched much Alabama football this year, or is this going to be your first
trial? I haven't watched much at all. I watched a little bit of the A&M game, and by the time I turned it over there, it was a blowout because Florida games have been all early this year, so I've pretty much watched all the Florida games,
right?
Today, like I said, I'm not going to be here at all day long, so the only game I can watch is that game. But I'm looking forward to it, man. Like, I want to see where Georgia stacks up. I want to see how good they are, and I'll see how good Alabama is. I think it'll be a good primetime game.
Yeah, this one's a bigger test for Jones. I mean, obviously Ole Miss doesn't play a lot of defense, but we've seen so far. But Georgia's another story. They have great safety play, really good corners, and then that front seven stuff. So this is a much bigger test for Mac Jones, but I think he'll handle it. I mean, they're at home, it's at night.
Is that a CBS game?
It is, yeah, CBS game. It's not a huge crowd, but Bama and Georgia so far in their night games, they've done a good job creating atmosphere where there might not really be one with not as many people there. So, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun game to watch, and hopefully Alabama wins by 80, but we'll see what happens.
But don't you want Georgia to be undefeated going against us?
No.
Okay.
I want Georgia to lose every game they play.
I gotcha.
quick prediction on that. Tony, give me a score in that game.
I think Bama's defense will play better again because it's not Ole Miss. So I think it's going to be like a 24-14 kind of game. I think Alabama will play really well. I think you'll see Stetson Bennett. I think he'll kind of come down to earth a little bit against this Bama defense, and he doesn't have that moxie and that run pass RPO stuff that they could do with Corral and even Plumlee at Ole Miss. So I think it's Alabama going up against a basic offense will be good for them. A little bit of rehab this week, and I think ultimately Bama is still tougher up front, even with how good Georgia's front seven is.
Matt, what's your best guess on the score?
I'm not even sure the over-under, so I'm just going to throw something out. I know the spread. I'm going to say 35-31 Alabama.
Over-under's 58.5, so I mean it's being projected to be high scoring. I'm taking the under on the actual game. That's going to be a part of my six-pack to go today. But if it was in Athens, I'd give Georgia the nod, and I would go ahead and take Georgia with the W, because that crowd's actually been a decently sized crowd, and I don't care what they say. There's not a whole lot of social distancing in those Athens games, man. I don't know what Alabama's rules are, how many that they're allowed to have in there. They're a pretty blue state, so I would tend to think they're going to be right on the line of 15% to 20%.
I mean, Texas A&M was packed last week. That was insane.
Well, that's the state of Texas too. You know,
and they got fined for it. Ole Miss and Texas A&M got a nice little fine. SEC had a neat little Friday night news drop last night between the schedule changes and Ole Miss and A&M getting docked some money for not adhering to what the SEC wanted them to do crowd wise. But yeah, A&M played it right though. They had everybody spaced out in the lower section and in the upper deck on both sides of the sideline. It looked like sardines in there, and then they left the end zones kind of open, so in case the camera caught those too. But it's all good. I mean, not a harp on last week's game. The other dumb takeaway was Mullen being I thought he came off as a crybaby after the game, complaining about the crowd out there. Hey, the crowd's quiet when you're on defense. The defense is the issue. You know, focus on that and not worrying about being the social distance police.
Well, he also he came off as a meathead more than anything else. It wasn't just the fact that he was crybabying. I was like, dude, you can't just say, let's pack the stadium after we've been going months and months of, and then you have all these, and this was obviously before the University of Florida's COVID outbreak broke. I mean, that was just terrible, terrible timing. I mean, that was like, that's something you would write in a sitcom kind of thing, you know. Are you serious right now? My takeaway of it was, not only, you know, I get the crybaby, but it was just like the meathead of like not understanding, dude. For you to say that, you need to run that by the higher ups at your university and say, what is our game plan? Don't just start demanding it, because at that point you put them in a weird position, because they've got so many donors and whatnot that they have to listen to, and. It's just, there's a lot of politics that goes on at a university campus. This isn't, you know, Adam Gase of the Jets complaining about it, and he only has to deal with a couple people in the front office. This is, you got to deal with the entire university, and 99 times out of 100, the university is ran by far left liberals, and you know there's an agenda to keep people out of the stadium. It just is. And there's an agenda to keep people everywhere out. We won't get into the politics of it, but you had to be smarter than that and go, dude. But then when the AD fired back and basically called him an idiot, it makes me wonder if down the road if that could cause some issues. You know, does that cause problems down the road as far as when we talk about re-upping on contracts and whatnot?
I think the athletic director would go before he would.
Yeah, they're fine. Strickland and Mullen have worked together for years back at Mississippi State. So I think, and honestly, though, I think if it was up to Strickland, he'd have more people too. But it's just obviously from the AD standpoint, because you got people had three choices this year. They can either get their money back, they could go to games, or they could roll their stuff over to 2021. Or actually, they had a fourth option, which was just to donate the money. So if it was up to the ADs, they'd have more fans, because that's where the booster money is coming from. You don't pay that booster money not to sit in the seats. So. But I think obviously the president and they've got to work with Florida and all that kind of stuff. But I think 2021, we should be, I would hope we're good to go. I'm a little curious to see what happens for basketball, but that's a little bit down the road.
We got Angelo joining us. Angelo, that's my bad. I didn't realize that you were sitting in the waiting room, man.
It's fine.
We were just talking about the Florida, the big hubbub on the COVID-19, but we can go and switch gears. Florida State plays North Carolina today, and the spread there is 13.5. It's a home game for FSU. It's a nighttime ABC primetime game of the week. The good news is, if it gets out of hand, people are going to be watching Alabama and the Atlanta Braves Dodgers game anyways. so there won't be as much light shined onto this particular game. But what are you seeing as the keys to this? And Do you give Florida State a fighting chance to actually pull the, you know, the unthinkable off?
I think it, obviously it falls on the defense. If the defense can hold the potent North Carolina offense to, I think, even less than 35 points, I think we'll win. You know, we saw last week, and obviously the week before, but last week was against a good opponent, that we could do stuff offensively. But the question is, can we stop Howell? It looked like last week, Terry was finally coming in, but I believe he had surgery, right? So he's out for a while, a couple weeks.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so people are going to have to step up at wide receiver. But ultimately, I think it falls on the defense. You know, can we get pressure on Howell? Obviously, once a Florida State commit, it's going to be interesting to see how much passion that our guys come out with. Again, the line's going to have to get pressure on him. DBs are going to have to stay on their talented wide receiver. So ultimately, it's going to fall on defense. My prediction will be if we can keep them under 35 points, we'll win. I'm actually confident about this game, more so than I was last week. Obviously, it's at home. But from what I'm seeing offensively, I know that we could come out and score 35, 40 points. So, you know, it's going to fall on the defense for me.
FSU's biggest thing last week is they can't stop the run. That defensive line's a sieve. North Carolina is more of a passing team. That I guess that plays into FSU's favor, but North Carolina probably watched that tape and said, dude, we can run the ball. I don't even know if we need Howell this game. I mean, that FSU defensive line was just pathetic. And unless there's a switch flipped, and I don't see how that happens in 6 days, I think they're going to run ramshod over FSU, which means it's going to come down to, can Jordan Travis keep up? The only other way you flip that is if you get some timely turnovers, right? Or you get fortunate and there's some penalties that take a 3rd and 6 into a 3rd and 16, and that's why you stop them. But conventionally, they could have named their rushing yards at Notre Dame last week. I don't think they ever felt like they were in fear of losing the game, but Florida State did get down to where they were 2 possessions down. They were at the 5-yard line of Notre Dame. They turned the ball over. Well, I still don't think we win the game, but it could have made it interesting, right? It would have been fun to watch. And then, unfortunately, he forced a pass, and it was a great interception. And then they went down and basically bled the clock, and somehow Florida State didn't give up that touch. I don't know how the hell that happened. And then James Blackman went back in, and we reminded us why we don't like him. This game, I'm going to call it North Carolina 45, Florida State covers the spread somehow, 34. What do you got, Angelo?
I mean, I'm kind of tempted to pick an upset, but I think it's going to be really close. I was going to say 45-38.
Well, you got a stupid underdog pick to make, so if you want to take Florida State or you want to go somewhere else?
No, I'm going to take Florida State.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and log that in.
One more thing about what you said, too, about the turnovers. When we get the turnovers, we have to make sure that we actually get 7 on them, because I believe last week there were 2 turnovers in the Notre Dame territory where we only settled for a field goal. Right, field goals aren't going to win this game.
Oh, I thought you were saying we need to get 7 turnovers. Like, dude, that's not very common, man.
but you need that.
Is that
it helps?
Is that including onside kicks or something? Like, how are we going to how are we going to punch that number to 7? I mean, that just all comes. But in general, don't you believe that you saw an offense that looked a hell of a lot more dangerous with Jordan Travis on there than he's, you know. Don't believe the hype, FSU fans. He's not the crappy passer that everyone made him out to be. He's a decent college football quarterback. They made him out to be this guy who couldn't throw the ball at all. I'm like, no, that's James Blackman. I mean, so all this time we haven't had a guy who's decently accurate and mobile for a statue that sits back there deer in the headlights and gets sacked left and right. I don't get it. But anyways, hopefully that nightmare is over. That long national nightmare of James Blackman is over. And if he doesn't, if something happens to Travis, can we see someone else play? Could Purdy maybe make entrance. I still think they're going to wait till to put Purdy in when they know he's ready, and it's an opponent that's, I mean, this has been an onslaught. We've had to play Miami, Notre Dame, and now North Carolina. It's like, can we get a couple more Jacksonville State sprinkled in there so we can have a spring game, essentially? The next big game, Ole Miss, Arkansas, the 3:30 CBS game. That is so weird to say out loud that is the CBS game, the national CBS game at 3:30. Ole Miss Rebels and Arkansas Razorbacks. But I think it's going to be a really damn good ball game. Tony, what say you on this? And give me your prediction.
I'm going to take Ole Miss. I don't think like Franks and Arkansas and Pittman, their style is going to be the old Arkansas football where it's run on first down, run on second down, and try and get into like third and four. But I don't think Arkansas and that group can really keep up. I think Ole Miss will kind of have their way, and that up-tempo offense keeps defenses on their heels. I think Ole Miss will win that game. I didn't look to see where it actually is.
It's a -1.5. It's in Arkansas.
Yeah,
over 77. Wow.
Almost even more so to take Ole Miss. They play on. I don't think they play on real grass out at Arkansas. So more speed for Ole Miss. I'll take them probably. Probably about 2 or 3 touchdowns. It's 42-28, something like that.
Well, Matt, what's at you?
That would be a fun game to watch, actually. I've always liked Felipe Franks. He was fun to watch at Florida. But I think Ole Miss is just going to be a running gun all year long. I think they're putting 40-plus up every game. So I want to say 45-35 Ole Miss.
Yeah, they might go 2-8, but they're going to be fun to watch.
All right. And on TV every week.
Mm-hmm. Angelo, what say you?
Yeah, I'm on board with everyone. I think Ole Miss – I actually think they run away with it. I'll say 49-28.
Yeah, I took Ole Miss on the money line this morning, so I believe in them quite a bit. All right, so as we go to wind this down, we got a last few minutes. Got a couple of questions, and then we're just gonna do a fast blitz of games and just give me the winner and a quick score. First of all, Tony, no UF game. What's your big thing that you're gonna be watching today or doing today?
There's a good game at every time slot, so, and I'll catch some baseball too, but probably Auburn, South Carolina, and Tennessee, Kentucky at noon, and probably that Ole Miss, Arkansas game, and then, of course, Georgia, Alabama tonight, and hopefully the Braves can finish it out, and hopefully the Rays don't choke it away.
I just don't want to get to game 7, because then anything happens, and usually 10-run innings happen. Carr. Gators are off. What you got planned for the day?
I'm in a golf tournament this afternoon, so I won't be watching any football until tonight. So,
going. How did the movie go?
That is tonight.
Oh, that's what I'm okay. I thought that was last night. Okay.
No, the golf tournament's at 1. Going to watch the movie at 6, right. So it should be home around 9. So I'll be watching the second half of the Alabama game.
Oh, the movie's an early movie? Okay.
Yeah, well, it's a 6:30 movie.
I guess that would make sense. You're gonna have your toddler out there at the midnight Rocky Horror Picture Show showing, you know. Let's dress up.
This week.
Yeah, that's next week. it's not close enough to Halloween yet. Angela, what's your watching pleasure outside the FSU game tonight at 7:30?
You know, I think there's good games all around. I think the Louisville Notre Dame game is not going to be that much of a high score. I can see that being a low scoring game. I could see Louisville keeping it in. I'm also looking forward to obviously the Georgia Alabama game. Also, it's a weird game for me to be watching, but I think I'm going to keep an eye on the Boston College Virginia Tech game.
Can I talk you into pulling for Pittsburgh this week?
I was looking at that, and I think they'll. What's the spread on that one?
It's 13. It's 13 or 13.5, and the over-under is 47.5. I think that's a low over-under.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a low over-under, but also I could see Pittsburgh keeping that close. I could see them covering, so I'll give you that. I don't know if I'm going to be picking them to win or rooting for them, but I could see them
keeping that close. Think that Pittsburgh quarterback's going to play on Sundays. I don't know if he's going to be a star or anything like that, but I think he's going to play on Sundays. He's at least a backup. He's got an arm, and I'll be interested to see him versus Miami, you know, keeping up with that up tempo that, you know, that they've gone to this year after the transfer from Houston, should be a lot of fun to watch. Okay. And what is the earliest it is okay to put up a damn Christmas tree, Tony?
More of a day after Thanksgiving. I think that's probably the earliest.
Angelo, you're agreeing, Matt?
Yeah.
I'm saying Black Friday or December 1st.
I know my wife's going to put it up by November 1st, but one of our followers showed a picture of his wife putting up a Christmas tree. It was like October 2nd or 3rd a couple weeks ago. I meant to bring this up before, and he was just like, what the hell?
my wife's working from home, so it might be up on Tuesday. I'm not sure.
It might be going up right now.
Yeah.
I hate it when it's up before Thanksgiving. That's my big thing. But I know I'm going to lose this argument. But
I went into a store the other night to get a Halloween decoration, and they had more Christmas stuff out than they did. They had more Christmas than Halloween out.
Well, because you can sell more with that. But I usually host Thanksgiving because I do a big spread that I cook and everything like that. And I'm like, it's really weird to be sitting there at Thanksgiving dinner with your mom and everything, and there's a freaking Christmas tree over in the corner.
There's mistletoe hanging out.
Yeah, exactly. Fake snow everywhere. And Tony, one big thing that's going to happen today.
Oh, Saban will coach. I don't know if that's probably a given, but these COVID tests are a little bit maybe like the SATs. If you don't like your first result, take another one and kind of see what happens. So, but I think he'll coach, and not a guarantee, but I think UCF Memphis will be sneaky good to watch this afternoon too.
Angelo, one big thing that's going to happen today.
Georgia's going to win by double digits.
Double digits. They're not just going to win. They're going to win by double digits. Wow. Matt, one big thing that's going to happen today.
Mac Brown still does not get a win versus FSU.
Wow.
I'll take that.
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Rays blow the 0-3 lead or 3-0 lead, and they become synonymous with the 0-4 Yankees, and the only teams to ever do that. I think Houston's going to bat their way to the World Series. And if I'm allowed
America wants it.
If I'm allowed one other big thing that's going to happen today, the Atlanta Braves are going to punch their ticket and get to the World Series for the first time. And it's hard to believe it's been 25 years since they've won it, 21 years since they've been in it. And you know, give y'all some props. The Yankees smoked us. We had no business in that freaking series. That was one of the greatest teams I ever saw, was that era of Yankee baseball. We didn't just not win a game. We were never in a game, it felt like. It felt like every game started out 10-0. I was like, Jesus, can we just get it in? And I felt like Mario Rivera pitched like 36 innings of that series. I'm like, man.
Cutter after cutter.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
That 95 Braves team, the World Series champs, that was a fun day for Gator Braves fans. Florida won at Georgia that afternoon between the hedges, and then the Braves clinched it that night. So that was one of the best days in my sports history.
Was the Florida Georgia?
Florida beat Georgia in Athens, and then that night Atlanta won the World Series. So that was awesome.
Florida State beat Miami that night in football. I this for a lot of things, but I went to a sports bar that night. I remember we were watching it, and they had the volume of the Florida State game on, and for once I was mad. I was like, could you put the volume of the damn World Series on? It's game six. What the hell are we doing here? You know, and they're like, well, it's football, because I was living in Middle Tennessee. I was like, okay, real quick, rapid fire. Just give me the winner and the score. Pittsburgh, Miami. Tony.
This is almost my stupid underdog pick, but I'll go Miami 31-21.
Matt, Auburn, South Carolina.
21-14, South Carolina.
Since you brought it up, Louisville, Notre Dame, Angelo.
Notre Dame 28, Louisville 24.
That would be a win if they could, because Louisville's looked terrible so far. Matt, Tennessee, Kentucky, what's the score?
28-17, Kentucky.
Tony, Central Florida, Memphis.
Oh, I'll probably take UCF in that one, 31-27, something like that.
Angelo, Florida State, UNC.
I'll go Florida State 38, UNC 35.
Matt, A&M and Mississippi State.
That's going to be A&M will win that game, Mississippi State. They'll score some, but I think it'll be, we'll say 35-28, A&M.
And Tony, BC, Virginia Tech.
I'll take Tech. I don't know, 35-17. BC, they still, I mean, they should have lost last week. The kid missed a field goal against them. I forget who they played, but I remember seeing the highlight. I'm surprised. So if Florida, one real quick thing, if Florida was playing LSU this week, who would you guys pick?
Oh, Florida. I think Florida, especially after that loss, Florida.
Yeah.
In December, I don't know what's going to happen. But yeah, this week, I definitely – especially with all that COVID in the air, man, they would have freaking – they would have got them. Well, this is why we call it the swamp. Come on in. and then everybody, give me your walk-off and give me your final score of the Georgia-Alabama game. Tony, I'll start with you.
Go Braves and go Rays, and I keep thinking it's going to be like a 24-14, something like that, Alabama.
Angela?
There's also a lot of good soccer games on in the Premier League, so I'm going to be sticking with that, watching that probably from now until the first college football games kick off. But for Georgia-Alabama, I have Georgia winning. I have 28-14.
I like it. I would love to see it mixed up a little bit like that. And we all know Alabama's allotted 3 or 4 losses, and they'll still get in the playoffs anyways.
Right. Nothing stopping them.
Exactly. Not even COVID. Yeah. Matt, what's your walk-off? What's the score of Georgia-Bama?
I got a big golf tournament today. It'll be fun. Going to a drive-in movie with my daughter's first ever drive-in movie, so it'll be fun tonight. I'm actually going to be recording the Georgia-Alabama game so I can watch it when I get home. I have no Alabama spoilers, winning.
Gotcha.
35-31.
My walk-off is my phone will be in incognito by about 4:30 Eastern on. Because once the Braves hit their first pitch and we roll into Florida State and Georgia-Alabama and Rays-Astros, this is going to be one of the greatest days of sports. Hopefully all the games are close and competitive and I'm not staring at the barrel, you know, at the third inning of the Braves-Dodgers game. But that's my walk-off. I really want to pick Georgia, but it's in Alabama. But I'm going to go ahead and I'll go out on that limb. Georgia finds a way in a slugfest, 24-23. Somehow they pull off the W. I don't really care who wins because I don't like either one of the teams, but I really want to see a very good football game. That'll be about do it. Quick six-pack to go. My 6 picks. Started doing this on Saturday mornings because it's not worth pulling up this whole thing on Friday. It's a whole thing. So for a 5-minute thing. So take the Hurricanes +30. That's their team total. The over/under, their team total, just them. Take the Hurricanes to score over 30. Take the Vols to score over 24. Alabama, Georgia, I'm taking the under -58. I'm taking the New York Giants to score over 23 tomorrow against the Redskins. I think that's almost a lock. Give me the Rams -3 against San Francisco. I'm a little surprised that line's not a little bigger. And then this is going to be the shocker. I almost took this as my freaking underdog pick, but this would be so Miami Dolphins. Give me the Jets +10. There's going to be some way that game at the end of the game somehow – the Jets are going to have a fighting chance with about 5 minutes left in the game. And I just think Miami Dolphins are not at the point now where they should be a 10-point favorite. I know they blew out San Fran, but San Fran has some struggles on offense.
Then Tua starts next week.
Yeah, and back to – exactly. If the Jets get in, then go ahead and make your claim for Tua on the waiver wire, because Fitzmagic usually dies out around mid-October anyway. So
exactly. He's about week six, he's about out.
Yeah, you're like, all right, it's enough already.
Got an expiration date.
Exactly. All right, well, great show, y'all. We will see y'all next week. Happy Saturday, man. It doesn't get much better than this. A game six, a game seven, and a battle of Georgia and Alabama. We don't get that every year, so I'm excited for that. We'll see you next week here on the Armchair Quarterbacks, Dixie Football Nation. Volunteers, we're the tide that rolls,
we're Seminoles, we're hurl on steel. Runs to his left, throws it downfield, it is caught by Dunn. He's got the first down to the 40, Dunn to the 50, Dunn down the sideline to the 40, Dunn to the 30, he separates, he's to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Florida State!
Gators start at their own 20. Johnson lost it deep, Green is behind the defense! He's at the 35, he's at the 25, and he's tackled at the 17-yard line!
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings.
Lindsey Scott, 35, 40, 10, 5, Lindsey Scott. Well, I can't believe it. 92 yards, and Lindsey really got in a foot race. I broke my chair. I came right through a chair. The booth came apart. The stadium fell down. Now they do have to renovate this thing. They'll have to rebuild it now. You know, this game has always been called the world's greatest cocktail party. Do you know what is going to happen here tonight and up at St. Simon's and Jekyll Island and all those places? Wildcats, Wolverines, Tigers.